blessed and blessed and blessed be your name. Thank you, Holy One. In Jesus' most marvelous name, we have given thanks. Somebody lift up your voice and say, Lord, speak to me tonight. Speak to me expressly. King of glory, speak to me expressly tonight. Let your word find expression in my life. Let your word find fulfillment in my life tonight. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me tonight, Lord. Let your name be glorified. Let your name be magnified. Let your name be exalted. Even in the precious name of the Lord. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most holy name, we have given thanks. Amen. Father, speak to us again tonight. Amen. Let your name be magnified. Amen. Speak expressly, for your spirit speaks expressly. And after this service, Lord, let's return to you with testimonies. Amen. Thank you, everlasting Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most marvelous name, we have given thanks. Amen. Help me congratulate your neighbor on your right and left. Right in front of you and behind you. Congratulate that neighbor. Say to that neighbor, it's a new day for you. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Put those hands together for the Lord. Teaching series tonight, putting up a fight against the forces of ungodliness. Putting up a fight against the forces of ungodliness, and this will be part 5 of it. Putting up a fight against the forces of ungodliness. Please take note that we are admonished to avoid fight. We are admonished not to engage in fights, scripture speaking. It says, but we are also told there are some worthy fights. And one of it is the fight against iniquity. The worthy fight is the fight against iniquity. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 to 12, he said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, follow after godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And then he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. The fight against iniquity is considered a good fight. The fight against iniquity is considered a good fight. Now, when you are looking at that scripture, many think Paul was addressing the love of money. But Paul was addressing anything that defiles. Paul was not just talking about the love of money, but Paul was ultimately addressing anything that defiles. Because if you go to verses 9, if you start from verse 9 now, the scripture speaking from verse 9, it said, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And now in verse 11, now I have quit addressing those who are talking about money. That is for those who are talking about money. But for you, Timothy, I know you are not running after money. But thou, O man of God, I know you are not running after money, but flee these things, including money, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And now, we are going to get into it very quickly, because it's not only talking about money, it's talking about a lot of things. A lot of things that every one of us will have to look into and check ourselves. Godliness, faith, love, patience. How much of patience do you have? Meekness. How much of meekness do you have? He says it's not only about money, it's not resident with money. Remember, no matter the gravity, he says, check these things. Now, in verse 11, it says, but O man of God, now in verse 12, it says, fight against all these things. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight against all of these things. There are no easy fights. Tell your neighbor there are no easy fights. And the spiritual fight, the spiritual war, is the fiercest of all wars. The spiritual war is the fiercest of all wars. That's why scripture is speaking in Matthew 11 and verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist, it says, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent taketh it by force. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. This is one spiritual war that will draw blood from us. Until blood is drawn, it says we have not engaged in the fight. Hebrews 12, 3 to 4. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He said, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I love the way TLB puts it. TLB says, after all, you have never yet struggled. No, TLB of verse 4 of it. After all, you have never struggled against sin and temptation until you sweat and great drops of blood. Until you sweat great drops of blood. This fight will draw blood. That's why it's the fiercest of all spiritual wars. This fight is against the most crafty. This fight is against the most crafty. The crafty that designed crafty. How do you want to win the war against him? He is the crafty that designed crafty. So how are we going to win the war against him? Then we need faith. Glory to God. The Bible calls him the subtle. And this is what subtle means. Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. That is when you are fighting against this one, you need every armor. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the king of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If they are in high places, then we need higher powers to fight them. They are in high places, then we need higher powers to find them, to fight them. They are not just wickedness in high places. Take a look at other fierce qualities that they have. They are not, it does not end with fierceness in high places. Look at some of the qualities they still have. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. If there is a war, then we need a weapon. This is the fiercest of wars, then a weapon is required. And who knows what the weapon is? The best weapon against this war is the weapon of faith. The weapon of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. It is the fight of faith that only faith can win. A fight of faith that only faith can win. He said, now you have taken all the weapons, but take note in verse 16. It says, above all, Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. But please take note, we cannot fight until we identify the enemy. Our fight will be useless if we don't know who we are fighting against. We cannot fight until we identify the enemy. He says, let's identify the spirits behind sin. Identifying them will give us the strength to fight against them. So what are the evil spirits behind sin that we can identify, especially today? What are the evil spirits behind sin that we can identify? Number one is the spirit of pride. The spirit of pride. And we have been talking about the spirit of pride since the beginning of this month. Pride is the sinker. And if you take note, when we are talking about sinker, one sinker is a six-letter word, S-I-N-K-E-R. The first three is sin. Before it can sink you, it begins with sin. So pride is sin that sinks. Pride is a sinker. The proud have no future because God says, I hate them. The proud have no future. God says, I hate them. Proverbs 6, 16 to 17. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. TLB says, for there are six things the Lord hates. No, seven haughtiness. TLB, put it there quickly. Seven haughtiness. I looked at the meaning of haughtiness. It says, scornful pride, arrogance. Lying. Now, then it says, lying, murdering, plotting evil, eagerness to do wrong, a false witness, sowing discord among brothers. These are the things that the Lord hates. Beginning with pride, sowing discord among brothers. My bro, did you hear what he said? Let's revolt. Let's do this. He says it's part of sin that sinks. ICB. There are six things the Lord hates. There are seven things he cannot stand. Number one, it begins with a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that kill innocent people. GNT, let's go there. There are seven things that the Lord hates and cannot tolerate. A proud look is the first one. A lying tongue, hands that kill innocent people. A mind that thinks up wicked plans. Feet that hurry off to do evil. A witness who tells one lie after another. And someone who stirs up trouble among friends. Pride is a spirit that God cannot stand. As a matter of fact, do you want to hear this? Pride brought God's second in command down. Isaiah chapter 14, 12 to 16. He said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" If you remember, Jesus is referred to as the bright and morning star. Lucifer is referred to as the son of the morning. The bright and morning star, the son of the morning. But the son of the morning, because of pride, wanted to take over from the bright and morning star. So Jesus said, the Bible speaking about him, "For thou hast said in thine heart," that is the son of the morning, "thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Who dwells in the sides of the north? Huh? It's God that dwells in the sides of the north. In Mount Zion. But somebody says the sides of the north is my dwelling place. And we know that God is the one that dwells on the sides of the north. So he says, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms?" Everyone that will be destroyed will begin with pride. Pride led to the ultimate fall of Lucifer. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction. Pride goeth before destruction. John said, "Pride is surely not from God." 1 John 2, 15 to 16. Somebody still there in technical? 1 John 2, 15 to 16. He said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the next thing, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Pride causes us to fall like Lucifer. Hosea 5:5, it says, "And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them." Look at NLV. He said, "The pride of Israel speaks against them, Israel and Ephraim fall in their sin, and Judah has fallen with them. But in verse 6, it tells us the result of the pride. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. Why? He hath withdrawn himself from them. Pride makes God to withdraw. Pride makes God to withdraw from us. God will not withdraw from you. I said, may God not withdraw from you. Pride is simply saying, I am more than who I am. Pride is simply saying, everything I am, I did by myself. Everything I am and will be is because of me, no hand of God in it. Pride is refusing to acknowledge God, or pride is actually manifesting yourself more than anything else. Listen to me, people of God. You and I are nothing in the sight of God. Wherever we find ourselves today is the privilege. Anywhere we find ourselves today and tomorrow is a privilege. If God's servant, the apostle over this commission, can be saying that wherever I am today is God that made me so, who are you and I? God said to his servant, Pastor Enoch Adeboye, he said, he took him to the beach one day, and he said to him on the beach, he said, make a man in the sand. And he made the man. And he said, clear it off with your leg. He cleared it off. He said, the day you look bigger than who you think you are, he says, that's how I will wipe you off the surface of the earth, and no man will ever remember you. That's what he said by his own mouth. He said, no man will ever remember you. He said, I will clear you off the surface of the earth, and no man will ever remember that you existed. That is, not only they will forget that you ever existed. Not that they will be referring to you, they will forget. You know, the Bible says forgot. There is a place in scriptures that says forgot. He says, I will forget that you ever lived. You won't be found there. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, very quickly, what are the evil spirits behind sin? The spirit of bondage. That is the spirit of addiction. Addiction that cannot be controlled. Addiction is what cannot be controlled. And whatever cannot be controlled is controlling you. Romans 8:15, he says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It is dangerous when you are not in control. How many understand what God is saying? It is dangerous when you are not in control. Imagine your car in this snow when you lose control. You are pressing the brake, you are doing everything, but the car is the one in charge now. You are not the one in charge. You are vulnerable. You are driving the car. The car is, you are feeling good while you are driving the car, but all of a sudden you lost control. And the car is now the one in control. Stop. The car is, no, I'm the one in charge now. I'm not stopping. You are pressing the, you are driving, you are turning the steering here. The car is going this route. This side. You are not the one in control. When you are not in control, there is fear. When you are not in control, there is palpitation of heart. I mean, you understand what I'm talking about. Now, there are cars that have come up now that they say they are the ones in control. What does that mean? Those cars will be driving you without a driver. But even when those cars are driving you, you are still not good. I mean, you understand what I'm talking about. The car is driving you, but you are... I'm not too sure. The car is driving you. They said the car is the one driving you. And they have programmed it to drive you. But as the car is driving you, you are still pressing brake. I mean, you understand what God is talking about. Why? Because you don't fully and absolutely trust it. Except you are the one in charge. You are not a good driver, but you still trust yourselves more than you trust the car driving you without a driver. How many understand what I'm talking about? When something unpleasant is happening in our lives, we say one thing, we say one sentence, God is in control. Imagine if the devil is in control. You don't trust him, so you have a challenge with that. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. ERV. It says, and since they did not consider it worthwhile to hold on to the true knowledge of God, God handed them over to a corrupted mind to do things that should never be done. The spirit of bondage, you won't be found there again. Your amen is weak.
Amen.
Now, what are the biblical steps towards living a sanctified life? There's only one thing. Number one, put on your robe of righteousness. Put on your robe of righteousness. Isaiah 61 and verse 10. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. There is a robe of righteousness he has designed for each and every one of us. Every one of us have a robe of righteousness. The robe was designed to be worn anytime unrighteousness tries to show up. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. In the Bible speaking, it says, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of fire? Now, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. The robe is our change of raiment. Verse 5 speaking, he said, and I said, let them set a fear matter upon his head. So they set a fear matter upon his head and clothed him with garments. His garment was changed to a robe of righteousness. And Paul tells the Colossian church what this robe of righteousness looks like. Robe of righteousness. What does it look like? Colossians 3:12. He says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. That is what is inside the robe of righteousness. Verse 14, it says, and above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. So what is it? There are 8 under robes inside the robe of righteousness. Under robes inside the robe of righteousness. What are they? Number one is mercy. When mercy shows up, righteousness will be in place. When mercy shows up, when you have mercy on your brother, when you have mercy on your sister, it will not be hard for you to help them. It will not be hard for you to assist them. It will be hard for you to expose them. Mercy. Number two, kindness. He says, bowels of mercy, bowels of kindness. Number three, bowels of humbleness that will counter pride. Number four, bowels of meekness that is still talking about pride. Number five, bowels of long suffering. And then he said, love, which is charity. And above all these things, put on charity, which is also love. He says, and then peace. When you have love, there will be peace. You don't struggle for peace where love is in place. And then he said, the peace of God. And then when all these things are in place, then you begin to give God thanks. Thankfulness will be in place. Glory to God. Number two, quickly. Biblical steps towards living a sanctified life. Number two, purge your conscience of evil works. Purge your conscience of evil works. Evil works against the sanctified life. Evil works. Hebrews 9:14, he says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And our conscience will be purged by the blood. Zechariah 9:11-12, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have set forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water, turned to the stronghold. Ye prisoners of hope, even today do I declare that what I will render double unto you. That means no matter what prison we are in, the blood has capacity to take us out of it, to deliver us from it. So inside the blood is the blood, is our purging. It purges our spirit from every evil work. The blood has capacity to purge our conscience from every evil work. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. The blood turns us to overcomers from unrighteousness when engaged. Glory to God. Biblical steps towards living a sanctified life. Number three, taking spiritual responsibility. Taking spiritual responsibility is dealing with evil spirits. Taking spiritual responsibility in dealing with evil spirits. Matthew 7:16-20. It says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. What responsibility do we need to take? Repentance. Repentance. When we repent, then God takes over. Psalm 34:18, it says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Contrite spirit simply means a repentant spirit. Isaiah 66:1-2. It says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things that my hand he made, all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit. Contrite spirit. Repentance draws God near to us. There is a city called in Jonah 3:1-2. God sent Jonah to a city called Nineveh. He said, go and preach to them. Initially, Jonah ran away. And after Jonah was caught, he went to them. And the Bible speaking, he said, everybody in that city repented, including animals. Even animals repented. And God said, look at even how animals have repented in Jonah. What I've desired to do in Jonah, have repented on it. And the man that God sent to go and preach to them became angry. So I wasted my time. So what was your job? Your job was to make them change. He said, I thought you were going to kill all of them. That means God has capacity to change his mind when we come to repentance. You know, we are talking about addiction now. Addiction does not just end with drugs, though. There are those who are addicted to phone. Even inside the church. In Jesus' name. Amen! The preacher is simply saying, you know, and every of the enemy of God, the Lord will judge them. Amen! I was in Shiloh one time. One man was sitting with me. And God's servant was preaching. And after a while, it began to rain curses. But because the man was not listening, he was not paying attention. And he stood up in the midst of everything. And I was watching him. This man, it is well with your soul. This is what you came to do in Shiloh. And as God's servant rained one heavy curse, he stood up, he said, amen. And I was watching, and everybody was looking at him. And he said, and kept his mouth shut. That phone is so distracting, it has taken you away from what is going on. You even have no idea what is going on. Some are addicted to porn. You're thinking there is no. In fact, they are borrowing money to pay for porn. You are so addicted to it that only God can help you. And that's why we are here tonight. Because God will help you. Amen. Somebody rise up on your feet. Let's give God thanks tonight. Let's give him all the praise and all the glory. All the honor and all adoration. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and we give you glory. We give you honor and we give you adoration. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' most precious name we have given thanks. Amen. All heads bowed and all eyes closed tonight. Father, we thank you for another precious time. Somebody is here tonight that wants to say, Lord, have mercy on me. I have derailed. I've walked out on you. Somebody even wants to say, Lord, I never even knew you, but I want to know you now. Why not tonight? In any of those categories, put your right hand on your heart. Let me quickly pray with you online and on ground. You want to say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. King of glory, put all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Put your right hand on your heart. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you for these precious souls because you have brought them. Somebody that is doing that right now, repeat these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day you rose again that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I am born again. In Jesus' most marvelous name we have prayed. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. The same grace will preserve them. These ones will never go back to perdition again. They will begin to take root downwards and bear fruit upwards to the praise and glory of your name. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' most marvelous name we have prayed. Amen. Well, you said that prayer in your heart, wave your hands to Jesus. If you are in the sanctuary tonight, you said that prayer online, send a text message to the number that is being displayed right now, and someone will be by your side to assist you. Glory to the name of the Lord. Or somebody that is here tonight, begin to speak to the Lord tonight. As I partake of this flesh and blood, as I partake of your flesh and your blood, this is what I desire from this flesh and blood tonight. This is my desire tonight. This is my desire tonight. Speak to him. Speak to him expressly. Speak to him expressly. This is my desire tonight as I partake of your flesh and your blood. This is my desire. Lord, this is what I want from you tonight. Cleanse me, Lord. Wash me clean. Purge me, O Lord, of all iniquities, of all unrighteousness, of everything that defiles. Purge me, King of glory. Purge me, faithful Father. Speak to him tonight. Speak to him tonight. Purge me, Lord God of holiness. Purge me, eternal master of the universe. Purge me, Lord. Let your name be exalted. Thank you, Holy One. In Jesus' most marvelous name, we have prayed. Lift up your communion into the heaven right now. We declare this communion blessed tonight. We decree and declare right now that as many as partake of this tonight, every sickness, every disease will be swallowed up. Amen. Anything that is making your people uncomfortable will be made uncomfortable tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we exalt you. And Lord, give us a heart that pants after you. As we partake of your table tonight, King of glory, the heart that pants after you, the kind of heart, Lord, we exchange our heart for your heart. Your heart of righteousness, Lord, let it be embedded in us. Thank you, Holy One, in Jesus' marvelous name. Let's partake of the table as the Overcomer's voice minister.
What can wash away my sins?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Let me show you something very quickly before we leave tonight. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 8. Hosea 12 and verse 8. Hosea 12, 8. And Ephraim said, yet I am become rich. I have found me out substance in all my labors, that shall find none iniquity in me that was sin. That's what Ephraim said, right? In Hosea 12 and verse 8. But Ephraim was singing a different song. Hosea 13 and verse 1. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. The same Ephraim that was saying, sin cannot be found in me. Look at ERV translation if you can find it. ERV translation of that scripture. The tribe of Ephraim made itself very important in Israel. Ephraim spoke and the people shook with fear. But Ephraim sinned by worshiping Baal. So he must die. Ephraim sinned. The same Ephraim. You won't be found there. Amen. I said you won't be found there.
Amen.
Your amen is weak.
Amen.
You and I will not be found there.
Amen.
You and I will make heaven.
Amen.
You and I will make heaven.
Amen.
You and I will make heaven.
Amen.
In the precious name of the Lord.
Amen.
Be reminded, Covenant Hour of Prayer continues tomorrow and Friday. 6 a.m. is the time. Evening prayer continues tomorrow and Friday, 6 p.m. is the time, and next Sunday shall be the third of our Priscilla Encounter services and monthly anointing service. It will be a glorious time in God's presence. Be reminded of two things for Sunday. In preparation for Sunday, come with your bottle of oil. Don't beg for oil. And also, come along with your three requests that must go home with you as a testimony. On Sunday, and you must put it in the sealed envelope because they are returning home with you as a testimony. That will be somebody's testimony here in Jesus' marvelous name. Go home with peace.
Amen.
Return tomorrow morning at the Covenant Hour of Prayer with your testimony.
Amen.
No one here shall fall victim of anything.
Amen.
No one shall fall victim of any evil.
Amen.
Your children will not see evil. Your spouses will not see evil in the name of Jesus Christ. Your going out is blessed. Your return is blessed. Your children are blessed after you. Every school transportation is covered in the blood of Jesus. Every school is covered in the blood of Jesus. There shall be no evil man or woman invading anyone's schools. No one will invade any business. No evil person will invade any organization in the name of Jesus Christ. You are blessed going out. You are blessed coming in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything you touch the remainder of this week turns to gold in your hands. You are favored on the right. You are favored on the left. You are favored going out. You are favored coming in the name of Jesus. Very shortly, it will be evident to all that everyone prospering, everyone good is happening for, is a member of this commission. And that will be you. That will be you. That will be you in the name of Jesus Christ. So shall it be. In Jesus' most glorious name we have prayed. Do you have a smiling neighbor by your side? If they are not smiling, just turn to me very quickly. If they are smiling, bless that neighbor with the blessing of the Lord. Praise the Lord, I'm more than a conqueror. Congratulations, you are blessed. Have a most wonderful night and see you tomorrow morning.